One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Redman Originals podcast time. Get it. I'm Paul Machin, Chris Page, Chloe Bloxham, Dan Club, all in the studio with me for
Thank you.
Liverpool have completed their second signing of the summer.
Get
Everyone is in a good mood as a result. All the people who were melting down mere like days before. Oh, I love it. I just love, I like, and I know it's probably one of the things, because it's probably why we're good friends, is I love people who get irrationally angry about stuff really all the time, and you like making people irrationally angry, so we're really
well, yeah, and I get irrationally angry myself, which is exactly right, which is why we're good friends, but, like, also, I did spend far too long the other night reading comments from when the deep dive me and Josh did on Soberslay first came out and be like, why are you doing this? Liverpool are never going to sign him. What's the point?
Yada, yada, yada.
And I was just like, glorious, isn't it?
Yeah.
I replied to some people, actually.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was like, what a fan channel, it's what we do. Lads, it's why this is actually a company. And look at the speed at which in 48 hours it was pretty much nailed on. This is why you can't sleep on links like this, because was clearly a player that Jurgen Klopp wanted, and when he wants him, and FSG really have to go and get them because of the situation that we're in now, the deal gets done so quickly. So it was a massive turnaround, that, wasn't it?
I've enjoyed this.
It's just great though, isn't it? Just generally speaking, like, the happiness throughout the weekend is just lifted.
Yeah, apart from the fact that I very nearly didn't get to see any of it because apparently, without knowing it was a thing, Ben threw me rate limits on the Saturday on Twitter. Yeah. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't even see my own tweet, and then Steve put the little Elon Musk screen grab into the group, and I was like, right, okay, cool. Well, there we go. That's the thing. I've enjoyed it because I like how there's that little, obviously the little subsection we talk about all the time.
The subsection.
The shiko section. The ones who made FSG their entire personality. Their personalities. And it's like, there'll be another reason behind something. There'll be another angle to view it all from, and blah blah blah. But
I said a few weeks ago on a video, I was doing one of the fan interactive shows and stuff, and someone was like, oh, blah 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 blah, I don't think we're gonna do it. Why is it? I was like, look, to be honest with you, I quite like looking forward to stuff. I quite like being happy about things.
Yeah.
And I will get pissed off at the end of the transfer window, but I won't get pissed off all the way through the transfer window, because there's 3 months of feeling like shite. Yeah. And it's not a conscious decision. It's just something that I've recognised as a personality trait, where I go, actually, I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely fine with being happy about something until I'm not. I'm not going to be unhappy about something until someone proves me otherwise, because you just end up being unhappy for longer than you're happy.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The thing is, you judge things at the end, but then there's never an end, really, is there? I think that's people's problems with it that I can fathom is, and when you feel like there's an ongoing problem that's been built and built and built and built, then people want a solution to it at any given point. But I'm quite laissez-faire about it, because you watch, I think you live football and you watch it enough over a long enough period of time, everything kind of goes up and down anyway, so you have to kind of enjoy the highs while they're there. But all great teams struggle at times, and they go through rebuilds and they have a drop-off and they come back up again. And the problem is that as much as Liverpool are an historically huge football club, they've somehow managed to not truly sell the soul of it to be something else, to be this giant super corporate entity. They are a corporate entity, but not to the levels of some of the other ones. But as a result, it means we've kept a bit more heart around the football club, but it does mean that we don't get to be a superpower permanently forever and ever. We're always going to have bits off. But you know, again, that's just time and longevity. We had an email, by the way, and I wasn't going to do anything on this because of the attitude of I'm happy to wait and see. And I don't like replying in texts and tweets and emails to things around this because I think a lot of it gets taken out of context and you miss the emotion and all that kind of stuff. But we had an email this week saying, hi, Paul and Chris. You constantly see the PR spin FSG put out in the media. Again, today comes, this is 4 days ago. Again, today comes out, we are working under tight financial restrictions. Liverpool's one of the biggest football institutions in world football, yet we are being ran like a mid-table club. Why don't you promote the owners having to send more or sell the club? You all go on about loving the manager. Why don't you want him getting backed? We have 2 years left of Jürgen. Don't you want to see him backed and to have the best last 2 years? Or do you want him to be performing miracles and scraping top four at best? Call these owners out and make it a daily occurrence. Put pressure on them to either spend or sell. It is completely unacceptable. And with a wide following like you have, you should be doing something about it. We'd love to hear your thoughts back by this email. Well, I won't do it, but I just thought it was interesting to. I just honestly, I had a million things on and I can't be asked to reply to that because we've done this a million times over the last. Whenever Liverpool have a sticky period, we've answered questions like this over the last 10 years or whatever they've been at the club. But I think this last few days for me anyway just kind of goes to prove the point is, particularly if we're trying to judge the backing of the manager and the rebuild and all that kind of stuff, as we've said, we've got until September to get him the players that he needs, ideally before then. But I just haven't got the fucking time or energy to get wound up about.
I'm probably like, I think you're probably there, and that guy who's emailed's there, and I'm probably somewhere closer to you, but maybe closer to him than you are. And my point today still is, we still haven't done enough in the transfer window.
Yeah.
Right? I can still be so really happy about Szoboszlai, but also want two more signings. I'll be honest, right? I don't think they're going to buy two more players. I think it's one more big player. I'd love to be wrong on that, and I think there's a chance that I am going to be wrong, and hopefully it's a big chance that I'm going to be wrong on it. I'd still like another midfielder. I'd still like another defender. I'd still like FSG to put more money into the football club than they do. Mm-hmm. And that has been now for maybe 18 months. Something you just sort of said always sort of rings true. It's not my entire personality. And every time I'm on a video, I'm not going to bring up things that I think should change. I'm going to talk about what we're talking about at that time. So if you hear me say anything other than, I think FSG should spend more, then I've changed my opinion. Until then, this is my opinion.
Yeah.
And I still think FSG need to spend more. I still think they need to back the manager more. I'd still like Liverpool to spend more than they're spending. And I'd still like better players than we've got. They're all constants.
Yeah.
And they always will be constants, no matter who we've got, whether we've won the treble, whether we've won the quadruple or what. I'm still going to want more of this football club. I still want Liverpool to challenge more regularly in every single competition.
Yeah.
You know, if we've won the quadruple, I want to win the Super Cup and the Club World Cup straight after that. I'm always looking for more as a football fan, and I think that's the one thing that all of us can always say.
Yeah,
we're always going to want more, but there is a reality to being a football fan that you are a fan,
mm-hmm.
and you are a supporter, and you actually can't affect change, meaningful change, from a couch, no matter how big a following that you've got. If there is something where we need to go to the picket line, we will always go to the picket line, like we were in 2010, like we were when we first started, you know, marching down Anfield Road, covering all the stuff that we did cover back then. That will always be the case. But you lose meaning when you march for everything. Yeah. It's the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
It's got to be worthwhile to do it. And at the moment, when Liverpool are a season away from a cup double, a couple of years away from winning the league, a few years away from winning the Champions League, it wasn't really worthwhile hitting the picket fence.
Yeah, yeah.
it just wasn't.
Yeah, well,
Liverpool were being ran well and we were challenging. Last season was a fuck up and everyone will agree, but we all want more and we all want better for this football.
Twisting on 19 or 20 was the problem. You know what I mean? Because if you get 21, you've guaranteed you've won, but you're more likely to go bust than
funnily
you
enough, twisting on 19-20 was exactly what Liverpool needed to do in the transfer market.
Yeah, yeah. Dan, what's your thoughts on this?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I, like you all, have seen and heard and been privy to the old FSG need to be putting more money in. And like Chris says, I was on one of the live shows last week and it was a constant barrage. This was during the period, right, after the high of signing McAllister had gone away and people had already, you've got over that little dopamine hit and you've gone, right, what's next then? And we're going to see it this time around again, I'm almost certain of it. And it did come to the point whereby people were just calling out FSG and saying we need more, and already got to like they kind of resigned, was not doing anything else, and obviously we go and get Szoboszlai over the line, and the mood changes for a couple of days, but I'm certain it'll go back to how it was. Cause...
Well, that Sky Sport thing come out, which is what the guy references.
Yeah, Mark McAdam,
and he did the tight financial restrictions, and again, it's because I think Twitter's become its own ecosystem and its own world of self-perpetuates misery, and it's easier to find the negative stuff on that, and then people buy in, and then that becomes the be all and end all, I guess, because there's such a hunger for transfer stuff.
Yeah.
We said this last week about we're in the lull between signings where there's no new links, there's no new news, so everyone therefore becomes more desperate for it, so you start to buy in and believe absolutely every scrap that you hear, and then that accentuates it all. It can do it.
I think as well, just on that, I think it's because last season was so dire that it's made 10 times worse. Because you're right.
You say that though, Dan, but honestly, we won the European Cup in 2019, and within a week, all Twitter was, where's the signings? Mm. Who are we buying? What are we going to do next? And after the league, it's just what it is this time of year. It's always like this.
Yeah, to a point, I agree with that. But at the same time, I think the lull doesn't really exist because we've got McAllister done before the window opened. People seem to forget that. And there's other clubs that we'll talk about later who haven't done any business at all yet. Mm-hmm. So really, Liverpool getting these now two players over the line is absolutely outstanding. Like, really, we have done quickly and they're two great players. So we should be satisfied with that. But I think I do come back to the fact that last season was such an abomination that people aren't as patient. And there isn't a lot of patience anyway to begin with.
I understand that, Dan.
I sat there last week and said, I want us to sign more players because people were going berserk in the chat saying, call out this. And I just sat there, I want us to do what you're saying. Like, I'm with you, I get it, but not to the point whereby I'm willing to...
Yeah,
There's just strategies in place that we're not privy to. And I won't get angry about... And we've made missteps in transfers before, but again... Every football club does it every single season. We don't know. We're not as privy to it because we don't think about it anywhere near as much. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think sometimes we come across like we're denigrating people's views who have different to us. I can only talk for myself, right? I'm not. If you want to feel like you want to sit there all day on Twitter and tell things about FSG and talk about it, that's absolutely fine. It genuinely doesn't bother. It's your time, it's your life. It doesn't bother me. All I'm saying is don't ask me to do something that I'm not comfortable or believe in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you want to do it, and I understand that, and I've seen it on Twitter, there's loads of people who are in spaces all day, all night, talking about FSG. That's fine. It's cool. You know what I mean? I love, actually, that they've got that much passion and time that they are able to do that.
That's fantastic.
I'd love to have that much time for what is a sport. I've got a family. I've got fucking kids. I've got other interests outside of Red Men and football and everything else, just like most people do have. It's fucking boss that people love this club so much that they're able to do it. But like, as I say, for me, I'll only talk about what I believe in. Yeah. And because I do think that that's the only way you can talk about it.
Yeah. I'm buying into Fortnite at the minute. You know what I mean? I think that's just a better way to spend my time at this
Zelda point. For me.
Definitely. Go.
Yeah. I'm not FSG's biggest fans. I think everyone knows that. I'm very much in the middle. I can see exactly what they've done brilliant for the club, including the fact of look at where our stadium is right now, the additional seats that we're adding on, but they've also done so many things majorly wrong. Transfers over the last couple of years has been one of them. And I understand people because, you mentioned us winning the European Cup there, but there's that argument that when you're at the top, you need to stay at the top, which means you still need reinforcement. I'm one of them who just gets bored at this time of the year because I don't believe in half of the rumours. Half of the rumours just do me head in. But then I'm also very bored without football. Like, I kind of want, like, I need Liverpool to do something so that I feel like, at least me club's doing that. Because this 2 months of waiting for Liverpool to kick a football about again is the most boring time of year, every single year. And I'm in the boat. I think FSG need to spend more. I think right now, McAllister and Szoboszlai is a brilliant start and well done to them. And, I can speak about how much and call them out when they've done things wrong. And I'll say fair play to them when they've done it right. Those two signings to get McAllister for 35 mil is brilliant. Then go and be able to spend 60 mil on Szoboszlai, who looks like one of the greatest, prospects potentially. Fair play to them for that. I don't think we're done. We should not be done. I want another two. But saying that, let me review it at the end of the season. There's no point in me reviewing it right now. I can tell you that I'm really happy with where we are. I'd say it's 7 out of 10 so far in the window. The other three is because I want 2 more signings. And if we can only manage one potentially, but it's maybe Taram or someone, I'll be made up. But I can't review these signings until I actually see them play a footy game because I don't know what they're going to be like,
and just
really.
To the point... It's not even like thanks FSG for buying 2 footballers. It's like it's the people who do the transfers.
Yeah.
It's the lads on the fellas on the transfer committee. It's Klopp and it's Schmadker. Linders and it's Schmadker and it's you know it's Mike Gordon now back at the helm at Liverpool after taking that time off at the start of the year. You know, we've gone and made this happen. We have this idea of like this like John Henry sits there holding on to this purse with the money clutched on and it's got to be pulled from his hands in order to extricate the money.
I've just basically drawn a John Henry. Mr. Burns character in my head.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, exactly that. Like he's Mr. Burns sat there, you know, in on top of Mount Doom in Boston, waiting for trying to find sending out the hounds when Jürgen comes round asking for some more dough. It doesn't work that way.
I can see where, and this is another thing. I think another reason why people maybe get so angry about it, I don't in the moment. I will at the end of the season if nothing's gone correct, or at the end of the transfer window if we've not got someone who I think we should have gone in for. I understand now where people are like, we're one of the biggest clubs in the world. We need to act like a big club. It doesn't help though, because you've got Arsenal who are spending more money than I've ever seen before. Manchester City, who can do that. Manchester United, who can offer 300k for some midfielder, which we can't do.
I think the point would be, who spent more than us in England today?
Nobody.
No.
Okay, so right, I think that's also worth talking about.
Also, Chelsea on? No, I feel like Chelsea might be
we're
somewhere.
We're 95 million, no one spent that yet. Yeah.
So that, I think that's also, you know, don't get me wrong, Arsenal will overtake our spending and you'll be proved right by the end of the transfer window when I think they've probably spent close on 190 million quid. But like also there is a time factor in play.
Yeah.
And the time factor is right now, today, we've spent more than anybody.
Yeah, you're right. That's a short-lived thing because you're right. They'll push the button on Rice in the next 24 hours and it'll be, oh, well, now Arsenal spent money. That isn't the competition, by the way. It isn't how much money you spend. And this whole, like, and I hate this because this is the thing that gets lost. I don't want to dig this guy out in particular, but I always see this. It's very Nigel Farage speak, actually, when people go, well, don't you want this country to be great? And normally that is around a really you place really extremist views, but you put really simplistic. If you say no to this, then it makes you act like the bad person for this. You know, you put really simple.
Who doesn't want £350 million to be going to the NHS?
Exactly. Yeah. Clear, obviously agreeable points around really extremist sort of views on stuff. And you know, it's not about Liverpool. If what we're saying, Liverpool behave like a big club. Then Liverpool have never behaved like a big club. Because if we're saying Man United are a big club, or we're saying Real Madrid are a big club, or whatever, we're saying Barcelona, Man City behaving like a big club, I don't know. But the point is, I haven't seen any of those teams in the last 7 or 8 years really challenge Manchester City, who've had unlimited funds to have a go at it, by the way. And in this is that Liverpool have never, ever, ever done that. Manchester United, for as much as, yeah, they can spend more money on wages than Liverpool. They were paying David De Gea £350,000 a week. Now, I'm sorry, if you think that is a model to be looked up to, then you need your fucking head examining, because that is not, I would not be looking at that and going, we should be more like Manchester United. I would say we need to be very much less like Manchester United if that's the fucking
That's
part.
How people see it, which is why I feel like it doesn't help, because you've got teams around us like that who do that. So I can understand why people maybe, you know, where Liverpool in the last couple of seasons haven't really targeted, you know, we went after Tchouaméni, didn't get him, and then was left with Artemelo. I can understand what people are going on about when other teams are spending ridiculous money
on a centre forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, it's not like, and I know, again, a lot of this boils down to negligence in the midfield. I totally agree with that, by the way.
Anyone's talking about FSG, sorry to interrupt there, but anyone's talking about FSG, right? It wasn't FSG that decided to buy Darwin Nunes over a midfielder.
Yeah, someone else. Yeah.
Like, they spent that 90 quid, yeah. 90 million pounds, sorry, on a forward. Not FSG.
And to the point as well on that, like, I don't think it's FSG that have said it's Tchouaméni or bust. Like, if you don't go and get him, we don't
we
have a plan.
Literally,
and we've done that a few times now.
Sorry, I don't know where, I think this went into the Ian Eyre interview, but, you know, he spoke about Jürgen Klopp on there, and he said, one of his qualities is that if it's not the right player, it's no one. And he actually says that's a commendable thing. And he said he's got his manager in Nashville's kind of like that. He said, I've had managers who aren't like that. Mm-hmm. They're like, Got to get someone. And without reading between the lines, because he doesn't say exactly who.
Brendan.
We all know who he could possibly be talking about. But he could be talking about a couple of Liverpool managers, to be honest. And Liverpool have gone and spent money on players just to have players, and they've been rubbish. Yeah. And you know, and you only get to spend that money once, you know, and then you've got it. Then you end up with, let's just say, Mario Balotelli and Lazar Markovic. They both happened to fall under Brendan Rodgers' reign. They were two lads we couldn't get rid of for love nor money, mm-hmm. because we spent more money than they were worth, didn't improve them, and then they were very happy and comfortable in what they were earning at Liverpool. So they were just eating up resources at the club that couldn't then be used to or reapportioned to make the squad better. Jurgen Klopp would rather go, get more out of what I've got. I believe I can get more out of what I've got existently, rather than have someone I don't really want at the football club. And that again, it comes back to, that's Jurgen Klopp's decision. That's not him, someone grabbing his arm and holding it behind his back. That's his ethos as a manager.
I do this in fucking real life. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have unlimited funds. So if I want a pair of trainers or something, right, and they're not the price that I want, I don't just buy another pair of trainers. I generally speak and wait until the pair that I want are a price that I can afford. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Some of us make these decisions on a weekly, monthly basis. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's true. But that's the thing. No credit to, you know, FSG on it, but it was one of the things Ian mentioned to me on other things, is there are situations where they've got the budget, and we don't really understand, none of us truly understand exactly how the budgeting works. Is there a pot of money that's sat there? We know there's deals done over time and all that. How much liquidity does the football club have at any given time? What it sounds like with this is, they had 60, it was 60 million. It's going to cost 60.1 million. That needs to be paid in one hit. Now, that's a very difficult thing for any football club to do, to have that kind
of
money.
And it will impact the rest of this summer.
Yeah, and they've went and gone and got that. They went and found a way to make that happen. Now, we don't quite know how that is. Has that come through owner funding? We won't know that until probably the next set of accounts come out. And you're right, we won't know what the impact of that is until we see what happens next. And we're going to discuss that in the second part of the show, by the way. But there are things where it's not, there's flexibility around it. It isn't just a rigid system, and Liverpool are able to roll with the punches.
Now that we're 20 minutes in, what are we doing in part one?
Shopper's Live. But thanks for the email, by the way. I don't mind. Look, again, I honestly don't mind talking about it. I don't like this notion of I have to share other people's opinions when I don't. I can appreciate them. I think, listen, I said this before, I've thought a lot about this season. One of the things I enjoy, why I still enjoy doing this job and I enjoy covering Liverpool, because I've said everything there is to say about this football club over the last 13 years, I enjoy trying to fathom out what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, I don't know for certain, but I enjoy looking at what I know and going on past experience and trying to combine it into a deeper understanding of how Liverpool make the decisions that they make to get them there. I don't get particularly angry about them, because we all have to make decisions. Everyone's a person, and everyone has to live and die by the decisions that they make. So that's where it kind of comes from. And yeah, I find that interesting. But I also then, if someone gets angry about things, I'm not just going to get angry because I get told to be angry about it, because more often than not, I'm just generally quite understanding, forgiving of certain situations. And I've seen Liverpool lose the transfer window every year basically
since transfer windows
were a thing, and I've seen pretty much every football club that's ever won a transfer window have a shit season following it. You know, Everton won it. Ped went on Sky Sports News and said Everton had won the transfer window.
Oh my god, did he?
Yeah.
This was a few years ago.
He was one of the first to make that.
Yeah,
phrase, coin it, like he said it.
Man United
signed Ronaldo and won the transfer window, and then we went and absolutely dicked them home and away. It's one of those things. It's you've just kind of judged the window, as you say, as a whole. On the Soberslay stuff, I'm just made up that it wasn't on the radar. That's the point where this has all come from. We've seen the links of who we've been linked with. I was a little worried that was the sum total of our shortlist, but clearly this lad's there. It come out with Ornstein, you know, that it was a possibility, but it was an unlikelihood. But they've obviously worked at it. They've wormed their way in there.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've gone from, again, this time a week ago, not one of us had mentioned that name in conjunction with, like, could this be happening in the coming days?
Stay in Stee and Josh did on one of their midfielders shows for Deep Dive, but not, it wasn't a transfer.
Not a link or anything like
that.
It was
somebody that Liverpool potentially should target for that right midfield role. So I think they'll be made up, or they are made up, that they called that, like. But as far as the transfer link goes, no, it was nothing. By all accounts, they found out there was a release clause and they moved very, very quickly when they found out it was running out soon, wasn't it? So great work by everybody involved in the football club to find that out and then go and get that sorted before the deadline, of course. One of the things that I've enjoyed about it is, much like you, trying to work out, you know, where Liverpool are going with this type of thing is, right, who is he? Because I know nothing about him until a week ago, basically. And I'm happy to admit that I'm a grown man. I don't watch fucking all the football in the world anymore. And that's not a problem for me. And then it's like, right, this is the guy. Let's watch him. Let's see what he's been able to do. We're lucky enough to have a Y Scout subscription, so I can literally watch every kick of a ball he's had. And I can watch him in full matches and stuff like that, all his highlights and everything. So you dive into that. Then we set the deep dive show up and we're able to look at how he's going to fit in. That's the exciting part for me. It's then you plug him in and you're like, we were talking about it in the office before about, oh my God, look, all the things that Jordan Henderson's been asked to do, this lad does naturally and it kind of falls into place, doesn't it? But then it's like, well, where else are they going to go with this? What does this mean? What doors does he unlock for this Liverpool side? And that's the exciting side of things for me. And listen, I would have been happy with Mason Mount signing for Liverpool. Yeah. I really would have, because I think Mason Mount raises Liverpool's ceiling. Right, so Szoboszlai raises that ceiling even further for my eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I found quite interesting, I know we're going to do the Bias Football podcast later, is I think he might raise Man United's floor, but I don't think he raises Man United's ceiling. So in terms of Jordan Henderson in this Liverpool side right now, he is a much better fit and can do more in that position than Jordan Henderson will ever be able to do at his age, mm-hmm. raising the ceiling. In terms of Manchester United, well, Manchester United, what are you saying? Rashford up top, maybe got Jadon Sancho on that left-hand side, you got Bruno Fernandes, and you got Christian Eriksen was their cup final side, I think, if I'm right in saying. Christian Eriksen's ceiling's still pretty high. Is it as high as Mason Mount's? Ceiling-wise, for his age, Christian Eriksen, bloody good, was one of their top players. I think he raises the floor of Manchester United without actually raising the ceiling.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think that's why I'm looking at it now going, oh, Mount or Szoboszlai, mate, it's a no-brainer. Mm. It's Szoboszlai all day because the potential for Liverpool to improve is there.
I like the kids' ball as well with the eight shirt thing. I like the profile, I like the fact, you know, at the height of him. I like the fact that he's got that cockiness. There was that interview doing the rounds of where he took the penalty against PSG,
Neymar
said you're going to score, and he was like, nah, don't miss.
He's a big fan of himself, I'll tell you that right now. I spoke to Kevin Hatchard the other day, Bundesliga commentator, obviously watches him more often than I ever could have, and he backs himself, like, so obviously I don't worry about that. But yeah,
big concern with him really, Dan, is why does he leave the house? You've got a full length mirror there. Would you be going and doing stuff, literally, or would you just be staring at yourself?
They'd take all the mirrors down in the accident. They never get him out onto training. But yeah, listen, I take your point, Chris. I'm made up of it. The proper statement signing for Moses, and I think he's Mason Mount plus. Didn't even dawn on me that we might have been better off a Mount, quite frankly. I think we're much better off. He's 2 years younger than him, he's bigger than him, he's more physical than him, etc, etc. Absolute no brainer that it's Szoboszlai over Mount for me. And I think on the point about the release clause and stuff, I mean,
same price as well.
Yeah, probably is. Yeah, maybe a little bit cheaper overall when you can count wages into it. He's 120 grand a week, isn't he? Whereas Mount's upwards of 300, I think. So, yeah, I think the release clause stuff is fascinating because obviously we were talking to Leipzig about Fabio Carvalho at the time. Mm-hmm. Wonder if somebody mentioned in passing or they'd left a note out on the table that they shouldn't have done. Slobber's live release clause, 60 million.
I reckon what they've done is we had this when we went to the AXA a couple of years ago. We walked past the room and there was a big board on the room, wasn't there, with the lighting costs for the field. And I wonder whether in the manager's office with a glass window it was just release clause dates. And Szoboszlai's name was just there. And
Schmadke spotted it on the way back. Also, the phone comes up. Click. On the Schmadke point as well, like when he became sporting director, it was said, wasn't it, the Bundesliga market's going to be one we explore. Well, would you look at that? We go and get someone from there. So, yeah it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
It just seems like a perfect fit for both the player and us. I think it just seems unbelievable for us to go and get the lad so quickly. His versatility is what excites me, because look, he's done this attack and roll. He's played at centre mid 59 times in his career. This box situation that we're doing now with the formation with the inverted right back, it feels like he can fit so many solutions. You know, we talk about the AFCON nations, how big of a miss Salah will be. Yeah, this lad just played...
Cup of Nations.
He's just played predominantly as a right winger for Leipzig and absolutely bossed it. So he can fit there, but also... his main goal contributions have came from centre mid, have came from that box, and that just means that we've got another player here who can unlock doors. We've relied far too much on our attackers, and with the likes of not knowing where Luis Diaz is going to be up to, not knowing how many goals Darwin Nunes will get, we've got rid of obviously Sadio Mane and Firmino, who guaranteed a heck lot of goals. We've still got Jota there, but who knows how he'll be this season with a couple of injury-prone seasons past him. It seems vital that we've been able to get a lad who's so creative, so attacker-minded, but also knows how to do it defensively, because look at his work rate. He's unbelievable over dead balls, which, you know, rival Trent, go for it, lad. You've got McAllister there.
But that's important. I think, you know, I do think there was a thing last summer where, you know, exhausted and worn out, mentally and physically fatigued, and there's something to someone coming in and showing you a bit.
Yeah.
And ultimately, when you sign Darwin Nunes and a kid in Fabio Carvalho, I'm not sure there was a lot of, like, wow factor. You know, they turn up to train, I don't think those were teaching our lads any new tricks. I think Gakpo does when he comes in, and we've heard rumours through people, like, they're very impressed. All the players were blown away with how technically good Gakpo is. When we bring Diaz in, I think we get the same in the January before that. Mm. All of a sudden, you bring in McAllister in, who gets to wave his World Cup winners' medal around. Oh, that's a Boss Champions League winners' medal. Oh, that's a Boss couple of runners-up medals you've got there. Got one of these? Nah. Nah, lad. You haven't. I was best player in that team. Lionel Messi was basically begging me to pass him, you know, to play him in. And then, again, you've got this kid, and he's coming in saying, and I know funnily enough, Markovic said a very similar thing when we signed him, but let's not go there, about, like, he's won a trophy every season of his professional career so far. He's a bit of a cocky prick. He's got that sweet strike on him. He's got the set pieces. He's going to be walking in and going, yeah, look what I can do. And, you know, that's on now. That'll be on Trent. That, all of a sudden, don't be surprised if Trent's set pieces go up another couple of percent, because he'll be staying behind. He'll be staying behind even later to make sure that he's the one who gets to keep those. Mo Salah's penalty technique will go up because there's a guy who doesn't miss penalties.
Who's there alongside as well.
Of him. Similar vein. And all of these things, and again, it's techniques, little things that you can pick up on and improve. And they're younger, they're more hungry. There's just an exuberance there. They're not burned out with everything that's been going on as well. It's not.
Chabas is definitely more hungry.
Yeah. Oh, stop it.
We needed it badly, didn't we? To the point we needed it badly. Like, we all spoke about the midfield refresh, etc., etc. But what all the attributes you just mentioned there in terms of his desire, what he's going to bring, freshen up the squad, giving the other people something to fight for again, it's so, so important. But I did also want to say, we spoke about sort of us swooping in and sort of taking him out of Newcastle's hands. I think another key element of all of this is he's chosen Liverpool.
Yes. Yep.
Again, Newcastle got Champions League football to offer. They've probably got more wages to offer. He's seen Liverpool come calling, and Newcastle have gone, well, they've gone, and Liverpool are the club he's chosen. I think that's a massive, massive thing in all of this, because, again, I mentioned it last week, Klopp wants players that want to play for us, and there's one of them.
I'm extremely excited, because I don't think we've had a player quite like this in absolutely years.
Coutinho.
Yeah, since Coutinho, but Coutinho was on the left.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I did love his header against Barca.
We haven't had someone who scores consistent worldies for a long time.
And Coutinho played on the left as a winger. I think he might.
When you say consistent...
Nobody scores worldies for Liverpool. That's the problem, is that
he'll get five bangers a season.
I hope you're right, but I think they're going to be talking about getting into the box and stop taking the shots from distance.
But that's fine, as long as he keeps scoring.
I agree, but you're right.
Apart from Oxlade-Chamberlain,
yes,
where they knew he had the shots, so we let him take the shots, and that's something that we've definitely, like, Fabinho's actually stopped taking them as well, and he's another guy who's got.
I think it will be used more to soften up a team. As in, take one early, and that defender knows he's got to come out to you, and that then opens up something else in front of you. And if he slots them early,
Ox is probably, like, the closest player I can think of in recent years, and this lad's on a different level. Yeah. I loved Ox, but after his injury, he kind of fell off a cliff. This lad's technical ability looks incredible. I was watching highlights of him, and I watch the Bundesliga. I watch as much football as I possibly can. And I've always spotted him and thought he was brilliant. Never thought Liverpool would be linked with him.
Yeah.
But, like, the ability that he's got. There was one going around the other day where he's, like, just absolutely dribbled past about six players and someone's robbed the shot off him and put it past the post. And I thought, we don't have anyone like that who can drive into the box with that skill. I'm so looking forward to the season.
He is one of those players that we've missed out on a lot in recent seasons. You know, Caleb Bellingham's more, he'll go on to be probably the midfielder of his generation. He'll be in that. But yeah, he'll be talked of. I think Bellingham will be talked of the way that Gerrard's talked of and his goals and all those kind of footballers, even though Paul Scholes was rubbish. I think in terms of players that move, we missed Haaland, we've missed Bellingham. Mm-hmm. Guardiola's going this summer. He's one of those. You know, he's the age ready to make that step up. He's already so highly regarded. He's a future star of the game. And Liverpool have actually gone and moved and made sure we've secured one of them. So all of a sudden, you know, compared to the other players we're being linked with, I still think it's a little early in Gabri Veiga's career. And that's what we were looking at, by the way, because I think Gabri Veiga was earmarked for that slot as well. But he still feels like a bit of a kid by comparison. And I think we're having to be careful on where the money goes, not to tread on part two, but this feels a bit like that presents itself. And rather than buying Karius because you think he's a half-decent goalkeeper and you can make something out of him for a lesser fee, the real deal becomes available, so you go and get the real deal. So that's
I think you can tell how much Liverpool value him by the fact that they have agreed to pay him one lump sum.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just that, you know, you can spread the payments and yada, yada, yada. You spread the risk mm-hmm. as well, don't you? Whereas, you know, you know what you're paying for him, and I think Liverpool know what they're paying for here and they're comfortable paying what is a scandalous amount of dough in one hit for a player.
Well, we tried to spread it, didn't we?
We're still comfortable doing it.
That's what I mean. It's actually a more positive thing if in the end, we've tried to spread it a couple of times throughout, I think it was Friday, when the release clause was expiring. Yep. In the end, RB Leipzig said, no, you can't do that. So we've gone away and had our conversation and still come to the conclusion that we need to go and get it done. And that can only be seen as a good thing.
It reminds me of the Fabinho transfer. I remember boarding my flight home from Kiev and just out of nowhere, there's Fabinho. What have we done here? We've just gone and got one of the best defensive midfielders in the world. Felt like it came out of nowhere and was done so quickly, and it gave you a massive boost. It was this, we've just lost the Champions League, I'm about to fly on five different planes to get home from Kiev, but Liverpool mean business, and we've started the transfer window like that, and it is a massive signing. And
again, you know, we've spoken about it all summer, as everybody else, getting the players in early doors is massive. So yeah, this is one that Jürgen will be happy with.
Yeah, absolutely made up, absolutely. I'm chuffed with it, really, really, really am. I think he's a terrific player. He's got the name as well, you know, literally. I think it was finally answered my question, Michael Reid answered. He's the third biggest Scrabble score player name in Liverpool's history, apparently.
Cinema Pongol?
I don't know. Well, I think Oxlade-Chamberlain is,
There's loads of letters, though.
But he's got too many letters to be a Scrabble, technically be a Scrabble answer, right. Oxlade-Chamberlain. I could get the tweet up, I won't. I'm pleased. Yeah, very, very pleased with that. Good business from Liverpool. Right. Just quickly, we were going to do this at the top, but we got sucked into it. Good to see Curtis Jones progressing within the 21s. They're through to the semis.
Yes,
good.
Yeah.
That also happened.
Israel on Wednesday. Sorry.
Yeah. And Harvey Elliott didn't feature in the game the other night, but scored an absolute screamer the other night in the last of the group games as well. So, good to see them all ticking along very nicely indeed. And
he ran past the player. That was interesting.
He ran past the... Yeah.
About three of them, actually.
Yeah, it was great.
Very, very nice pace on show.
Boss, right, break from us. When we return, we're going to be looking at what do Liverpool do next? Have we figured out what the summer transfer plan is yet?
We wanted to go there and we wanted to be world champions, so it was pretty big for all of us.
Liverpool have never won this trophy. It's the World Club Championship.
It felt like Firmino needed a moment like that.
Bobby had the final say again with the goal.
You know, it was extra sweet, I think, for Bobby.
Just thinking, just put it in the back of the net, but that's Bobby and he's so calm.
I don't think they quite expected to run away with the league.
I know we had COVID after it, but everyone knew Liverpool had won the league at a certain stage. You can't believe it went that long.
Those players will always have that place in Liverpool's history that, you know, they were the ones.
People will grow up having had him be their first great Liverpool love.
He won everything with the club.
Champions League, European Super Cup, Club World Cup, Premier League in the space of 13 months.
He was part of one of the greatest teams Liverpool have ever put together.
A legend forever.
The most skillful number nine Liverpool have ever had. He was a one-off.
Great example of hard work, of dedication.
Gives everything for the fans and everything for the club.
Everyone to a person said, I love Bobby Firmino.
Bobby will be remembered as an incredible teammate, someone who brings good energy and is always in a good, positive mood and is just a genuinely nice, good person. He'll be a big miss for everyone.
Nice legs, Aaron.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, all three episodes of Bobby Firmino, Best in the World, our three-part documentary series, all streaming right now on redmenplus.com, and the full interviews of everyone there. So if you saw their face in that documentary, the full interview is there to stream as well, including Jordan Henderson, Adam Lallana. I've referenced it a couple of times, but the E&A one, I conducted that one, so I know it a bit more in depth, but brilliant. Like amazing. I mean, the Peter Moore one, I'm told you did that one as well, didn't you, Chloe?
Yeah.
I've heard some really good feedback on that because there's just something to, I've been saying,
being in the room.
Yeah, you know, yeah. The guys are in the room when it happens. They've got a level of insight that most of us can only dream about.
Yeah, Peter Moore was absolutely incredible. And he called me sweetie at the end, which I thought was dead cute. So he goes up in my estimation. He's lovely
called,
man.
He's called me that as well.
Right, if you want to get all episodes of the Firmino doc, if you need some happiness in your life, then head to redmenplus.com, click join today. If you choose a club captain yearly subscription and use the code Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, you'll get 50% off. Fill your boots this summer. Get all the transfer stuff. We've got Dominic Szoboszlai covered from every possible angle. In fact, Dan, you've just done another angle today.
There's some angles. There's some series. Yeah, I did another one today. Talked to Adam Bogdan earlier this morning. Compatriot of his, played together for Hungary, of course, ex-Liverpool. Kevin Hatchard, Bundesliga commentator, spoke to his ex-manager, Gerhard Struve, the other day. Spoke to his former assistant manager this morning as well when they were FC Liefering together. So, yeah. Angles, yeah. And it's been amazing, by the
FC
way.
FC Liefering, are they the Salzburg feeder club?
They're the feeder club, yeah. They're Austrian Bundesliga 2 and they feed up to Salzburg, who then feed up to Leipzig.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's covered. Bogdan was really good. Bogdan's a good bloke and he spoke really well of Dom as well. And he spoke about trying to save his free kicks and penalties in training and just how hard that is. So it's quite a good listen.
That's class. Yeah, you're going to get all that on redmenplus.com. So yeah, and you can get it for half price as well. Use the code Bobby. Fill your boots with a summer and in fact an entire year full of Redmen as Liverpool are going to absolutely batter everyone this season coming.
Win on the quad.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it won't be the
quad.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'll be forever. Like, it wasn't the quad.
I spent about 3 months telling Manchester United fans that it's not the quad, so I definitely can't
just do deleting going.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Right, sounds. Let's crack on. So I asked the guys before we were filming to have a little think about this. What we think the reasoning is the follows. I asked 3 weeks ago, do we know what Liverpool's transfer picture is? Do we feel like we've got a clearer picture that now that we've pushed the Szoboszlai button, Chris? Because it feels to me like a lot of the links we've had up to this point have been quite box-to-box midfielders. You know, I don't want to be damn them by saying they're not as much as they are. This is not like a bunch of cripplers we've been linked with, but we haven't been linked with guys who score loads of goals and have got a boss free kick. Technique. It's been a lot of guys who you could see mould as DMs more likely on the Klopp than anything else. Has Szoboszlai changed your view on what you think we're doing?
Yeah, I suppose it has, but I don't think I'll be able to answer the question as in, do I have a clear picture of what Liverpool are going to do?
Clearer?
No, and this is I'll sort of explain it now. I think what we've done, and I think there is a genuine interest there, or was certainly a genuine interest in Kone and Thuram and stuff, but I think Liverpool have also put stuff out there so that it's always easier to move on to the next target if the price isn't right. And I think that's something Liverpool do anyway, to be honest with you. What I haven't really seen is links to, obviously, Szoboszlai, because they didn't happen until we signed him. I think there is a genuine interest in Lavia. I think there probably will be a genuine interest in a centre-half. I think with the centre-half stuff, it's probably more pertinent in that I don't think there's that many out there. And I think if we're going to hear about a centre-half, it might be like Szoboszlai or Fabinho, whereas they don't want anyone getting wind of who they want, because if you're after a left-sided centre-half with a left foot, it's Gvardiol or who?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? There aren't five players to pick from, mm-hmm. so you can't let the other teams know who you're after in case someone tries to gazump you yeah. in the signing of them. Whereas I think with the midfielders, it's okay to have a few irons in the fire, so to speak. So there are no links really to the left-sided centre-half or a right-sided centre-half, if you believe it now. So I think that's important mm-hmm. because there are no one out there and there are not that many people to choose from. I think there is still a genuine interest in some kind of a DM, maybe for the present, but most importantly for 2 years' time
yeah.
for when they think Fabinho mm-hmm. might be done.
Cool.
I've got no idea in terms of like I can understand every part of the puzzle that we do put in place, the jigsaw.
Retrospectively,
a bit more.
You can do it.
Yes, and I can paint a lovely little picture in my head, but truthfully, I don't know enough about the system. I don't know whether I sit here and think we're going to play this inverted right back situation still, but truthfully, I couldn't tell you because I'm not 100% sure. You know, Szoboszlai and McAllister can play different roles as well as the roles that I've identified them to play in this box midfield. And like we mentioned, there's no centre backs being heard of, and I take your point with there's not many out there, but it could just be that Liverpool are believing that by keeping Joe Gomez and by keeping Matip that's a thing for next season. Do I think that's what they should be doing? Absolutely not. But if that's what they're thinking, then I don't really know what we're going to do, because Robertson is much better suited to the left-hand side than Kostas is, but it's still not exactly what you need. Yeah. The right-back situation, Kanata, I'm so worried that he's going to be injured again mm-hmm. this season. Joe Gomez has been absolutely nowhere near the level you need to challenge for the league title. And Matip, I love him. I'm not sure he's the suitor for that position. And does that then mean, if, God forbid, we get some big injury somewhere, that we have to revert back to this 4-3-3? I don't know. I hope that the next signing can help me. And I don't want to like shit on anyone else's point, but the fact that Lavia seems to be the number one instead of Thuram now, I feel gutted with a little bit, to be perfectly honest. Thuram was the one, you know, from the off, as soon as we were linked with, I was like, wow, he's incredible. He's a box-to-box. He looks more attacking, but you can mould him into this DM. There's so many positions for him. Lavia is a bit of a mad one because he's a year older than Stefan Bajetic, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he's got Premier League experience. Totally get it. He looks like a decent lad. For me, he doesn't touch anywhere near where Thuram is, but Thuram is a couple of years older. But Stefan Bajetic is 18. He bossed the Premier League last season when he was available. If Lavia comes in to do that role, I'm not sure what we're doing with Bajetic. Is he moving up the field more then? And if so, what's happening with Curtis and Harvey Elliott? There's so many questions that I'm like, I've got not a clue.
Okay. Understanding, I guess, as it stands, then Dan.
Yeah,
you know, if you looking at what we know so far,
mm-hmm.
if you had to, if you were trying to divine the future,
yeah.
what would you say it looks like from this position?
From this position, I would say it looks like Romeo Lavia coming in, because he plays more of a DM than Thuram. Thuram did start off life as a DM. He's obviously a little bit older. He costs more money, I imagine, as well. But I think it'd be Lavia because he ticks more boxes in terms of the homegrown quota, which is very much still a significant thing in what Liverpool need to do. He doesn't need to be registered. And then in 2 years' time, he becomes homegrown anyway. So there's no problems ever arising from that. So he'd make a lot of sense in that. And for me, I do think we need to go and get a defender. I think we have to get a defender. And ideally a left-footed one who can sort of slot into that role, play at left-back for Robertson when needed, etc., etc. Because to Chloe's point there about sort of relying on a Matip and a Gomez, Konate is going to miss games of football. next season. I can put good money on that. And I think at the same time, you might need Joe Gomez to fill in at right back. His form's been very dodgy. Joel Matip, his fitness is very dodgy all the time. I think we're entering a world whereby we're going to lose Nat Phillips. We've already lost Reece Williams. You're entering a world whereby we're looking at what happened a few years ago, potentially. Maybe not as catastrophic in terms of the length of the injuries, but in terms of absentees. You're going to be looking at your fifth choice. And as things stand, because Nat Phillips leaving is like Dejan Lovren leaving that season, essentially. Mm-hmm. You're looking at your best fifth guy going to pastures new. Now, are we going to keep someone like Jarrell Quanta around to do that role? A kid who just spent time at Bristol Rovers on loan? Not for me. That's just not it. It can't be. He needs to go out on loan again. So we need to get a defender in. I think the Taram one is fascinating. And I agree with Chloe. I really want Taram. I think he's superb. But this Soboslai deal has come so from left field. Ironically, he's going to play on the right-hand side. But God's I think sake. McAllister... The interesting thing with Taram was always the fact that he's played that left side of the attacking eight, which is obviously what McAllister's going to do. McAllister's above Curtis Jones in the pecking order. Curtis Jones, brilliant last season, great, happy days. But go and wait and watch McAllister do it for a little bit is my sort of viewing on that. But then we signed Soboslai, he's going to be the right-sided one, which is the role I'd kind of earmark Taram to come and do, which is not something he's done naturally. But now we've signed someone for that as well. So you can't go and sign Taram for the sake of it and say, oh, you can play DM every now and then. So I think signing Lavia would be the alternative and probably my preference now. But your point, Chloe, on Bajetic is the most interesting thing out of all of this, because you are blocking his pathway and we've seen how brilliant he is.
And he becomes homegrown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the Lavia tick as well.
Yeah.
That's the only
when he's
thing.
21, he becomes one of them.
But then have we got concerns about his injury? Because I know I spoke to Neil a couple of weeks ago and he said his injury is going to go on into the season. He's not going to be ready from day one this season. So have we got a bit of worry about that potentially?
My general feeling on this is I think Thuram was the number one target. I think Gravenberch was probably the number one target, but they're being kind of messed around with him because he's not getting the clear answers that he wants from Bayern Munich. And he's obviously away, or he's been away at the under 21 Euros, which is true of most of these targets. In fact, Lavia actually isn't. I don't think
he got injured before it.
So I think the Soboslai stuff has actually had an impact on who we go for next. And that, a couple of reasons. I think the homegrown thing is an important part. We've got one non-homegrown slot left, having signed him. If you can get someone who you don't have to register and then goes on to be homegrown, laughing. I do think there's maybe a little budgetary thing. There's talk now that they had a £30 million bid rejected. The feeling seems to be that around 35 might do you for Lavia. It doesn't feel right. Thuram just is like, it's just a yes from me. It's the physique.
Yeah.
Now, there might be that thing of, I just think there's a flow chart that goes on behind the scenes, and it's every move has a knock-on impact to the next move. And I think 60 million coming out the budget in one hit has an impact, certainly. The homegrown thing has an impact, certainly. But also the level of who you've bought. I'm not sure we were going to buy three nailed-on first-team footballers for the midfield this summer. And that's when you start to remember, yeah, Fabinho was arse last year, but he'll only be 30 in October. He should still be fine to be the old cop to the new cop, you know, on the job kind of thing for half a season next year, which means you can afford to go and get a bit of a younger lad in. I think save yourself a few bob. But you've got Soboslai and McAllister who can go straight in from minute one next season if you need them to. And then between Fabinho Henderson and then a 19-year-old Lavia potentially, I think you've rounded that off quite nicely. But I think if you can't get Soboslai for 60, you probably get Vega for 40. And then you go and get Thuram for 45 or whatever it is, and then you've ended up in a reasonable sort of net spend.
Does the Thiago links change any of this?
Yes. That's my kind of, if I'm just predicting the future, which is impossible, it'll be bullshit, and there's something miles wrong because it always is.
You'll be wrong by the time we finish the show.
Oh, unbelievably. Normally. I think we're going to sign four or five footballers this summer. But I don't think we'll sign them all until we've completed a few bits of outs in that regard. And I've said this maybe last week, but I think Thiago and Matip are the linchpins to that, and maybe Tsimikas. They're the three that if you can get a move for any of those lads, I think that unlocks a little bit more dough, a little bit more in the wage budget as well to go for it, and just an actual need for footballers, because we just need footballers in midfield. We've gone and actually filled them the bare necessities. I do think we need another DM still, for comfort's sake. But I think beyond that, I think if Thiago gets a move, I think that gives you a little bit more freedom to go and get someone else. And that's maybe a world where you do end up with a Thuram and a Lavia, or maybe a Vega and a Lavia as well.
No one's even talking about a centre-back, though. What the hell do we do at centre-back? Someone last night on the as we went live when we announced Szoboszlai, someone was mentioning Colwill, which obviously Brighton had a 50 mil rejected for him, so Liverpool aren't going to pay that, I don't think, on the lad. There's that Inacio who looks about 37 mil or something. But you've just mentioned the homegrown position. How, like, if we get Lavia, then
that might be the knock-on thing. You know, it's like the 40 old-school Michael Edwards chess of it all, is that we don't know those forward plans, so Lavia would mean that you could still go out and buy that other centre-half if you wanted to, a non-homegrown centre-half, because you'd have that space left in your squad, so it might be that. Just actually, I meant to say this on my point, Josh Owen with the Super Chat says, Lavia 5'11", actually, I think he's closer to 5'10", too small, Thuram 6'4", Gravenberch 6'3". That's the one thing I'm a little concerned about.
Can I give you an outside sort of thought that I had? I wondered whether... Right, let me play this through first of all. I wondered whether you sign Thuram as your centre-half that moves into the midfield and you leave Trent in the middle of the park. Right? And John Stones, that's how you get to your 3-box-3, if you want to do it that way. Because he's 6'4", he's fucking massive, he's strong, he's got all the ability to play on the ball in the middle of the park. You then make that right, Canate, the right back in the four, and it just feels like, and again, this is highly unlikely to happen, I know this, by the way, but it stops such a big run from Trent to go right back to centre mid. It's just a lot of distance to cover all the time, isn't it? Whereas if it's a 10-yard forwards, backwards, it just seems a lot easier to do, and you keep Trent in the middle of the park all the time, and then you'd have your Andy Robertson, your Canate, and your Van Dijk. And then all of a sudden, you've got Van Dijk and fucking Thuram. 6'4", 6'5", in the middle. Canate's playing your right back in defensive situations, and Trent just stays in the middle and pulls the string. And I know this is highly unlikely, but that's why I would go for someone like Thuram over Lavia, mainly because of the height thing and gives you more options.
I agree on that point. I would rather Thuram. But I think for where our window's heading, Lavia seems like the more obvious answer right now because of what we've done so far.
Is he that much cheaper?
He is. You're talking 20 million cheaper. Oh, but 15, yeah, and
20. I don't think that's unachievable in players going out.
No, it's not. What?
Thiago, give me 25.
The height thing, possibly. Then about Fenerbahce paying that, to be honest. But yeah, the height thing is obviously an obvious factor in all of this. But I wonder whether the box system allows you not to. Do you need as much height in there, especially if you do go and get another centre-back to sort of replace Andy Robertson? Because Andy Robertson is lacking in the height department when it comes to being a centre-half. So if you replace him with somebody 6'2" and above, you've added a bit extra there, because Lavi is a ball-playing six. That's what he does really well. He reads the game brilliantly. He's not this destroyer in there like Fabinho can be. Yeah, exactly. And I wonder whether the box with Trent alongside him allows for that a little bit more, because you don't need... Fabinho's not having to cover every single blade and get across with these big sliding tackles. Lavia is very intelligent. He's probably more intelligent than Fabinho, but Fabinho's got this long ranginess and he's more physical, etc., etc. But to the point with Thuram, actually, Chris, I will say his whole career development has been moving forwards up the field. So to bring him right back would be a thing. It'd be interesting.
Something
it's possible.
That Gergen's done.
Yeah, it's possible.
In that scenario, and again, I know it's pie in the sky, I've just solved both the issues, the monetary issues.
Yeah.
Because you don't need two. One guy becomes both of them.
Yeah. My thoughts on this was something that came up on a video at the weekend. I think Henderson might just end up as that. I think Henderson's your other centre half / right back thing. You know, he's Trent's. He effectively is the other guy who does Trent's job, because he's actually got the mobility to get up and down.
Tim Obacetic were the two names that I would always thought of.
I can't see he's less of a natural fit now for that role that we discussed that Szoboszlai's been bought for. Depends what our thoughts are on Elliot. Is Elliot just going to be salad in the Europa League and the cups and a handful of like 20 minutes here at the end of football matches, if you want to keep Salah fresh?
Exactly. Yeah, that's
Salah's that as well.
Back up to Szoboszlai. I wonder whether Pejetic, if Thiago does move on, becomes Thiago in the loosest possible sense of saying a sentence.
Yeah.
In terms of minutes and sort of, and the way he plays football. Yeah, I wonder if it becomes that and does become more of an eight.
Someone mentioned Fabinho at centre-back the other day in a live as well, which I hadn't thought of, because, I mean, he's
not
very
until
tall,
we buy more
but
DMs.
I've not enjoyed that as much when I've seen it happen, which sadly we
there
did
there was a reason
that
Phillips and Reece Williams did better at centre-half than Fabinho.
Yeah.
Because Fabinho was in midfield.
Hamoud here with the super chat says, what's your thoughts on Trent moving to midfield and moving Fabinho to right centre back?
There,
there
we go.
Perfect timing. As you know, he used to play in that position with
five
the national
times,
team, Brazil.
Five times. That's how many times he's played right back in his career. It always gets brought up. It was literally a handful of times. He's 30 years old.
He did say he said he played
not for me, Clark.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he played for Brazil, but Hamoud seemed to think it was a thing. But
it was five times. I remember looking into it when we signed him.
Really?
Yeah. And he's not played it for us, so it's five times.
Yeah, I think he's got I think there's possibilities there, but it's what Henderson's role is within the squad impacts that, because there's a world to see Trent's understudy and the DM understudy and a third choice for that right 8/10 as well. That's kind of fine. A bit more Milner. Hamoud.
Apologies. I've just basically said that was stupid. I've also just said Liverpool should sign Kefram Turam and play him as a centre back. So really, I'm the stupid one here, not you.
Yeah. The centre back thing is interesting. I do wonder whether, again, what I think with the overall game plan, by the way, is to remain as flexible as possible for as long as you possibly can.
Same,
and that
just
feels
in life.
That feel yeah, well, true. But that feels a bit like a bit of brinksmanship. And I know it goes back to our point at the top. People are nervous. People want all the answers now because they want to know it's going to be okay, and they don't want a situation. And and again, it's like credit in the bank. People are worried that we're going to end up with an Artur Melo style situation again. Which I get because they've done it. And again, it's like going back to the mistakes that the club have made. They do tend to learn from them. Every club makes those mistakes, you know, periodically, I guess. But I think, because you was the one, Dan, saying actually in the office, like, why haven't we pushed the button on Thuram? And why haven't we pushed it on Kone? And why haven't we pushed it on Vega and blah, blah, blah? I mean, Kone went off injured.
Now injured, yeah.
So that's quite a funny point, because I think I said that to you at the time, if he gets injured, then you've just spunked £40-50 million pounds on a player who doesn't solve any of your problems anymore. Not that he's out that for that long. But there is a degree to which I think they've got to wait for things to develop. And when the right move comes along, they know. It's like, and Szoboszlai, who's clearly, I think, right at the top of that wish list, they were shopping down the talent pool. And when that comes available, they go, right, Sam, let's go and push the button for that. They're able to do that because they have just held on a little bit. Yeah. It's a bit, we still have Keita plays like this, and Thiago plays like that, staccato. It's waiting for your own moments and opportunities. There's people who just charge straight ahead, foot to the floor, go in a straight line. The people, though, who just hold on a minute and wait for the landscape in front of the shift, then you know, play smart. I feel like we're trying to do a little bit more of that this summer, which is, I think, is the right approach. And the centre-half thing, Chelsea, I think they're still going to hold out, because as much as they're moving players and they're shipping them off to Saudi and all this, they've still got far too many footballers, and there will come a point. Pochettino only started the job today, so he's going to get to run the rule over in the next couple of weeks and decide who he actually wants and who he doesn't, and that'll open up some Chelsea sales, I think, in the couple of weeks. So that Colwell situation just might change. Someone mentioned the comment, but Mark Gway here at Crystal Palace is another one who we've been linked with as well. I think we do have centre-half things. I mean, Mickey van der Ven's been linked with Tottenham this last week. That might be something that forces Liverpool into a little bit of action or whatever. But yeah, I do feel like a centre-back. I think we need two centre-backs, if I'm being honest. I think we need a right-sided one and a left-sided and a left-footed one.
Do you think that's achievable for this window? For us?
No. Without players out.
What's your preference in that case?
I think we definitely need. I think we just need to upgrade Matip, one or the other, whatever you need. I think you just need someone with a bit more pace than Joel Matip. If he's got a left foot, then absolutely laughing. If not, probably right footed in the short term, because you own Tsimikas and Robertson.
My answer would be, in terms of what improves your ceiling, the left side of the centre half improves your ceiling. What improves your floor is the right-sided centre-half, because they're likely to be unfit a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So it depends what you want, really. Like, if everyone was fit, the left one's well more important than the right, but not everyone's going to be fit.
Yeah.
So the right one's really important.
Because
Robertson, is generally fit.
Jesus.
For me, it's the left-sided one, and it all that would also therefore free up money, because I think if we sign a left-sided centre half who plays left back as well a little bit, Tsimikas, like, we just got to go. He has to. Not for our sake, for his own sake. He's got to go and play football somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, look, it will. Again, these are the points where you start to come into squad management territory, and it feels like Liverpool are being a bit more brutal. And I thought there was the point when the Bellingham thing occurs, it comes back to me, what is the overriding mission statement for this summer? I don't think the overriding mission statement is go and get loads of world-class footballers. It's to go and get volume. And not by a load of shite, by the way. It's to go and get good, solid footballers to fill the squad out, because we're so lacking in so many areas in reality. If we're changing that system, to go back to the defensive thing, that left-sided centre-half / left-back thing isn't right for that. So if we do need to replace Robertson and Tsimikas in reality, and we do need to replace Gomez and Matip in reality, that'll need to happen at some point. I don't think, again, we're not going to do four defenders in the window, but we do need to go and get some lads who can do it. And I think you can survive with another season with Robertson as your predominant player in that position. If you can get a young lad who can understudy that a little bit, who's got room to develop, that's absolutely laughing. And I think the same goes on the other side as well. And then next summer is the one where, well, you've bought, that's when Henderson finally gets. You can phase Henderson out. Thiago might have gone by then. You're starting to phase Fabinho out. Your midfield rebuild is largely done. That's when you need to go and buy a Bellingham type next summer, and you need to go and buy your Van Dijk replacement, maybe a Salah. You know what I mean? You know, or over the next two summers, the follow after this one, you're buying one or two geniuses, but you've got your squad. This is the Genie Wijnaldum window for me. This is like buying a bunch of players that make your squad work again, make your system work, but you're probably not.
The cull's just as important as the players that you bought here, because Liverpool by numbers last season, certainly I think a lot of us got it wrong in how many midfielders we went in with. And, you know, I'll only talk for myself, got it wrong, thought we would be okay numbers-wise, but we went. And that was because the volume of players that we had didn't have the games in their legs going into the season. We got it wrong a couple of years ago. Liverpool got it wrong with the centre-halves. Numbers-wise, we had the right amount of centre-halves. We just got loads of fucking injuries, and that's the problem. This is where we're kind of at. In terms of a big squad, we've got a bigger squad than Manchester City, for the most part. In terms of lads who play week in, week out, we had that last season. Just didn't work out because they couldn't get on the field at the same time. That's the problem that Liverpool have had. But with Keita going, with Ox going, that's freed up two of those spots that are, you know, that we needed games from. And the centre-halves issue is the same as last year with the midfielders, is that Gomez and Matip have too many games missed. You need to replace them with lads who are going to be.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
there all the time.
I said this on my McAllister analysis video on my channel. If you plug McAllister's minutes in, and compared to the minutes you've taken out in Milner played about 800 minutes in midfield last season. Caton and Ox did just about around 500, just slightly less.
Add the 13 on for Mello.
Oh yeah, we can add that in as well. McAllister's minutes are enough to replace all the lads who've left, to keep Thiago on 2,000 minutes of your choosing, and to give Fabinho 1,000 less and Henderson 500 less. Now, he's not, because he's one man, but to then plug Szoboszlai in, you've actually all of a sudden not just improved the quality of your squad, but actually you've improved the way you can balance your squad out and the minutes given to the senior lads as well. People credit Real Madrid for how they've rebuilt that midfield, but nobody goes, what the fuck are you doing keeping Modric and Kroos around? I know, because they're brilliant, but you can hold older players in your squad who are good, useful people and have a lot of additional qualities, so long as you get to choose when they take to the field for you, and they're not the ones who are holding your whole enterprise together. So yeah, in terms of what they've done, it works for me.
If we were to sign Thuram, and I'm not saying Lavia because I don't want Lavia, I want Thuram, and a centre back, what have I got to do? Have I got to sell Thiago? Do I need to fill up a space because of this homegrown thing?
Someone would have to go.
No, wait. If you sign Lavia,
I want Thuram and a centre back.
Depends who you centre half. If it's Levi Cole, we'll know you're fine.
No,
if it's a 19-year-old, you'd be fine.
I don't think we're getting him. I'm going to go with Nacho just for the fact that he's a Europe. He's Portuguese. He's
21, I think.
So he's so still that, over.
Yeah, they need to be in at 19 to have played for 2 years and to count towards homegrown. Because by the time they're 21 or there or thereabouts, there's something around the birthday and the season starts.
Yes, which I'm not quite
au fait on. If they join at 19, they get 2 years in your academy basically, and then they become homegrown.
Okay,
so you couldn't sign a 21-year-old or a 20-year-old.
But I can if I lob Thiago after Sardi.
Yeah. Yeah. In a better choice of
Thiago,
words, yeah.
Thiago frees upper space of your...
Great. Yeah. Okay.
But again, I think we should be pretty comfortable, though, because I know everyone's got issues with Thiago's fitness and his injury record. But if you don't have to play him for 10 games back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back...
You'll be fine.
Which is what happens every time we get injured. If you just get to play him for 60 minutes and half an hour in rotation here and there, there's not much better you're going to have for your squad. In terms of a stopgap for another season while you wait and see how everything develops, it's the massive thing for me. I'm a little worried about us doubling down on the existing defensive players, because I think the midfield, fresh legs in the midfield will cover a multitude of sins. But if we really want, I don't want to then get to the end of the summer and we fucking burnt the midfield out, then we have to rebuild the defence next summer. And then, you know, it'd be nice.
Just, of the year after.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Just get rid of Matip then and bring Akhenaten Thuram in a centre back.
I wouldn't get rid of one of them. We need to sign a centre defender. Centre back. We can't get rid of any of them.
Unless they buy two.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Needs to be plus one.
But one
opinion.
Of them needs to be English.
Or a kid. Yeah.
And then let's not even get into what happens if you get rid of your Nat Phillips's and stuff like that, because then you're in a position where you're plugging Harvey Elliott into your homegrowns to keep your quota up. And that's why, like, Cuevin Kelleher at this point is looking invaluable.
And the Adrian stuff comes into question as well.
Yeah, you probably need a young homegrown goalkeeper or a homegrown goalkeeper to get in for Adrian and stuff like that. That's fascinating, that side of things at the moment, actually. If you are watching or listening, to look at go back to Michael Reid's tweet about the squad and start looking at that.
I spoke to Michael Reid last week about it all. He obviously knows everything there is to know, and he explained in detail how exactly Liverpool can go about their business and what we do need to do. And I think one of the key points that I was a little bit surprised by, actually, is the fact that Liverpool very rarely have named a 25-man squad. Like, we normally fall short of that because of these reasons, that we don't quite meet the quotas and stuff like that. We have too many non-homegrown, so we just named 23. I think it was 23 last season.
Yeah, it was 23 last season. It might have been the year before as well. But the interesting thing is that the new information that I found from it all was Liverpool have more non-homegrown than pretty much everybody.
Everybody. Yeah.
Everybody else has got loads more homegrown players than we have.
Yeah, and I suppose the technical thing is we've got a lot of young... We do have a lot of young players who you can just play. It doesn't really matter, does it? You know what I mean?
So like Harvey Elliott.
Harvey Elliott and Bichette are good examples. Who gives a shit? Because they're in your squad. It doesn't really matter. That homegrown thing is only... Non-homegrown thing is only important if you want to have that, if you need to have that many non-homegrown players in your side at any given time.
So can we basically promote Harvey Elliott into one of the, you know, people that you've got a name?
It doesn't matter
at the
moment, no. You can only have a maximum of 25, and you can only have a maximum of 17, I think it is,
yes,
non-homegrown.
Yeah.
8 of which have to be homegrown. 8 plus 17.
Okay.
And homegrown doesn't matter what club they're at. It has to be somewhere in England or Wales. It can be from anywhere.
Yeah. Cool. Apparently...
Well, hang on a minute. Why isn't Andy Robertson homegrown?
Because he didn't play.
Scotland.
So Scotland, but Scotland's Wales is okay, but
Wales
Scotland's
is fine,
not.
Yeah, Scotland. Because Cardiff, Swansea, Wrexham, all play in the English League. But Scotland's a completely different entity.
Yeah. See, I knew that Scotland weren't allowed. I didn't know that Wales was allowed.
Wales is fine.
Is that a Brexit thing as well? Is this something?
No, I think it's before Brexit. This was all a thing, yeah.
No.
Yeah, Scotland,
heads fell off.
I know. The point is, we're all right. I think, you know, I saw a lot of criticism around it. It's definitely an interesting point, but it does speak to these are the situations. Just getting Szoboszlai instead of Mount as an example means that you do have to think about what the next transfer.
That's words
I
out of mouth.
But you've got Szoboszlai.
That's so annoying.
Would you rather? That's what it might boil down to. Your three midfielders might have been McAllister, Vega, and Turam. Instead, it might have to be McAllister, Szoboszlai, and Lavia. And that's how you shuffle it. It's Tetris, isn't it? You know what I mean? That's what they're aiming for.
No,
you know, you're shaping the right shape pieces into the holes that are available.
So wait, should I just give up on Turam then?
If we sell a non-homegrown player,
Thiago, it has to be a midfielder.
I don't have to be in terms of quotas, but Thiago's, I think in terms of squad balance, it does,
I still think there is a requirement for someone who will be, whether they're specialist or otherwise, to predominantly play as a DM in rotation with Fabinho this season. I think we need to buy that player.
Which is lovely.
And I think we will buy that player. Yeah, potentially. I think we will buy that player. But I do think there's a fourth midfielder that Liverpool will buy, but only dependent on other people leaving the football.
So do you think we're not buying a centre-back at all?
I think we'll sign a centre-back. I do.
Wow, so you think we'll sound fast?
Just say, right, Liverpool's 4-3-3 is fucking excellent at the moment. If you look at, could you just put Trent back in at right back? Sound.
Yeah.
You've got McAllister, Szoboszlai, Fabinho, and whoever you want there right now.
Well, that goes.
And then you've just, your centre half issue is actually solved.
Well, this is why the centre half.
One of them out.
The centre half thing is
4-3-3
so complicated.
Is boss.
The centre half thing is so complicated because of that system.
On the 4-2-3 wump.
But the three box today is so hard to judge the centre half situation. It just is, because right now, Konate, you're not getting better than Konate for that right hand side. You're not getting better than Van Dijk for the central one. You can improve upon Robertson for the left one. And I think in theory, Gomez is a perfectly apt substitute for Van Dijk or for Konate in there. But I don't think Matip is. And then, Trent moving out complicates everyone's thinking on everything, because I'm still seeing people going, well, this means Trent has to go back to right back. Trent plays at right back for Liverpool. I know. And I go back and forth. I'm like, no, he doesn't. He just plays in midfield. We see him. Look, he's in midfield all game long. He does play in midfield, really. But nominally, he plays right back for us. So this moving in one way or the other makes no, it's not a point, but it does bend your head when you try to work out what we're actually doing. The 4-4-2 thing.
There's a 4-4-2 now.
The 4-4-2 is 4-4-2 or 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3 when you play an actual proper right back in that.
We need a right back.
Well,
I understudy.
I think that actually weirdly makes it easier, because I don't think I just think you tell Trent you're not playing right back anymore, mate. You'll play it in the box midfield, but if we play 4-3-3, you're not playing right back. You'll play in midfield for us, mate. Don't worry about it. Oh, you'll be resting.
I see. In a 4-3-3, I disagree because of the players that we've signed. In a 4-2-3-1, he plays in midfield, full stop. And that's why I said they've got me started.
Yeah.
Because if you sign a right back, he's alongside Fabinho.
I'm going to say it's part of two.
Oh, yeah. Mate.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to sign a specialist right back, though.
Oh, mate.
I don't think, maybe, but I think you just buy a specialist centre half then, and you get a bit of an easy choice. You can buy a left footed or a right footed centre half, and it doesn't matter because Robertson and Tsimikas are back to left backs again. Mm-hmm. You then just need another centre half. Gomez becomes your right back, and that solves, I think, your solidity issue with 4-3-3. Mm. And you've got Conor Bradley as your understudy for him if need be, and you've got Jordan Henderson, I think, could do it as well still in addition, and Trent can go there if you're really confident of having loads of the ball. But right now, as far as our unknowns of what the plan is, buying that next defender is so complicated. I don't really know. I don't know what they're going to do with that. But
there's a flow chart somewhere in the Axa, probably Jürgen's office, where he's got all of his formations and all of his signings, and all of this stuff is fluid. At the moment, where it's like, oh God, we've got to go that way now because we've signed him. But this is fascinating. Mm-hmm. I say I hate transfers around football, and I've always said it, but this is the fascinating part of transfers. Sure. It's not the players for me, it's what the hell does it all mean?
But I want to skip to the end where I just have my fucking answer. My thing. Oh, we've signed. They're if we could that. Just skip forward several weeks so I can know the hell we've signed and where they're playing, I'd appreciate it. Yeah,
but then, you know.
The fun might be taken out of it, but
you'll be livid when the football comes back, and then all of a sudden they've got all these players have got to perform. Yeah. And then it's, you know, and that's the real stress. This is the.
I know, that can just still happen. Just let me go to bed for the next 2 weeks instead. Let me just keep going.
Through pre-season.
What did your head say about the formation? We just speculated on five different possibilities there. Box.
I think we're all in on that. But I do think we're not soft in who we've bought. And this goes back to what we're trying to buy this summer. We've not bought another Mo Salah, and we're not buying another, you know, necessarily a Van Dijk or a whomever or a Fabinho. We're buying lads who've got, if we have to go back to 4-3-3, we'll be absolutely fine if we go back to 4-3-3. And again, 4-4, you can play 4-4-2 all of a sudden. You could play Szoboszlai right mid, you could play Diaz left mid if you wanted to, you could put Darwin and Gakpo up front.
We sat here last week talking about Salah's, you know, understudy and stuff, and we boxed that this week as well, didn't we? In Szoboszlai, it's boss.
Yeah, very good. So, does anyone have any more on this Thiago and moving Liverpool from it into the bio? Steve is adamant that it was never in there, because everyone's decided Thiago's gone because he's removed it from his Insta, apparently, but not his Twitter. But no one's been able to verify to me whether that was ever.
I haven't seen it verified. I've seen a lot of news outlets running with the story. There's a lot of people in the wrong if Steve's right. So Steve Hoare is going against a lot of institutions right now.
I wouldn't back Steve.
No, not me. And Neil Jones, obviously.
Coming from a lad who's backed Steve, by the way.
We're talking
from experience here for once.
The Saudi fit seems like the most obvious fit for Thiago, doesn't it? That's what we're all kind of alluding to. But like I say, Fenerbahce reportedly keen on him, so.
Yeah. Right, we've got a couple of things to still cover. We have got a prize draw for this month's Club Legend prize. We had a signed Adam Lallana shirt. So I'm going to tap this, and then we're all going to go, ooh.
Hey.
Fraser Peel, congratulations. Well done. Fraser Peel has just won our signed Adam Lallana shirt. Well done. Well done indeed.
I haven't won one of these yet.
Good. You get to look at these prizes while they hang around the office for the time before we get rid of them.
That makes sense.
Yeah. We have got another amazing prize to give away this month if you join RevNPlus.com as a club legend. It is this absolutely wondrous what we're dubbing the legend shirt.
Hey everyone, brand new month, brand new incredible Liverpool competition prize over on RevMenPlus.com. It is this. It is what we have affectionately dubbed the Legends shirt. Every former Liverpool player that we interviewed over the course of the season, we got them to sign this wonderful Liverpool home shirt. That includes, and let me get the list for you, you've got Rush, Aurelio, Skirtle, Aldridge, Steve McMahon, Mark Wright, Jay Spearing, and Adam Lallana. All you need to do is go to RevMenPlus.com, join as a club legend, or upgrade an existing subscription from club captain to club legend, and you will be in the prize draw at the end of the month for our incredible Liverpool legend shirt, RevMenPlus.com.
So yeah, last season's home shirt signed by the most eclectic collection of Liverpool legends ever assembled. If you want to be in the prize draw to win that one at the end of the month, then go to RevNPlus.com, sign up as a club legend, and your name will go onto the wheel of names for the spin in a month's time. Other than that, yes, get fill your boots on Szoboszlai content over on RevMen Plus. Get the Bobby Doc as well. Do go and get yourself 50% off a club captain yearly subscription. It's going to get you all the video, all the podcast content at half price for a year. Use the code Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y. Anyway, thank you. Very good.
Very good. Very good.
Pre-season starting soon, people. Bossler. Get ready to see Szoboszlai in red. Oh.
I cannot wait. No, I'm dead excited for that. And I wasn't like 5 days ago.
I know.
Boss. Right, thank you so much. That is the original podcast. Come and join us on the Biased Transfer show after this one over on Redmen Plus.
Hey, so pre-season is just around the corner for the mighty Reds, but if you want to spend your days, weeks and hours celebrating a Liverpool legend, then check out Bobby Firmino, Best in the World, our three-part documentary series, episodes 2 and 3, exclusively streaming on redmenplus.com right now with full interviews from so many of our amazing contributors, including the Liverpool skipper, Jordan Henderson, the greatest goal scorer the club's ever seen, Ian Rush, and a hell of a lot more right now. Go to redmenplus.com. All episodes of Bobby Firmino, Best in the World, streaming today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.